Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Anyone watching a loved one going through Alzheimer's knows what the disease can mean. An aunt or uncle who wanders off lost, a grandparent who remembers you only as a child or calls you by another name, or a parent who reminisces clearly about the past but seems confused by the present. Poet Jean Murray Walker describes her experience with her mother's Alzheimer's disease in The Geography of Memory, A Pilgrimage Through Alzheimer's. It is a memoir that bears witness not just to the tragedy but also to the gifts that can surface for those who are dealing with Alzheimer's. It's a pleasure to welcome Jean Murray Walker to the program. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
When you talk about those gifts, and I assume that, it was, because it seems in reading the book, that that's ultimately what you were trying to get across through what so many of us know because we've gone through it, that there is something, there is a message there if you're open to it.
Well, I certainly, my experience of Alzheimer's, I didn't know anything about it before my mother was beginning to lose her memory, and we kind of didn't understand what was going on. And this was early in 2000, so there was less talk about it now then than there is now. And my own experience was that I took away from that 10 years, that decade, something more than just grief and sorrow. And I didn't actually read books about Alzheimer's until after my mother was gone. But when I did, I was horrified by how horrifying they were, I guess. I mean, there are really a lot of books on Alzheimer's, and they almost lead to a hysterical discussion and terrible fear. I thought, well, you know, this discussion about Alzheimer's in the United States probably needs to be changed a little bit, because that was not my experience.
Your experience was, and you write about this, of course, in the book, but you really, it's a lot about your story as well of where you found strength, of where you found humor in this process.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, when you have to do something with the time that you're spending, and one of the things that happened was I began to understand my mother's metaphor. I think a lot of people who are drifting into Alzheimer's really speak in metaphor. And as a result, I was pitched back into my own past. I had lived through some of those things that she was talking about with her because I was a child in our household. And then other things I remembered because they were stories that she had told me from her past. She was a great raconteur. So my memories of my own past came back, and I felt this decade was really important. It changed my identity in some fundamental way because I understood my own childhood in a different way. So yeah, the book is in part about that.
One of my takeaways, and I've said this on the air before, that as long as I live, I don't think I'll ever truly understand the mother-daughter relationship. But you you write in the book about how ultimately that a relationship that can often be entangled in conflict can become very connected during the illness.
I think that happened to me. I think it can either be very isolating because you feel that you're physically intimate with somebody, you're actually brushing their hair, you're kind of in charge of their person in some way, but on the other hand, you don't understand a thing they're saying. It can be isolating in that way. Or if you can catch the drift, which I think is usually metaphorical, then it isn't so isolating. And you, I think, in some ways relive that past with them if they're your mother or possibly your father. I've never gone through that with my father. So I don't know whether it's unique to the way, you know, you might feel about your mother if you're a woman, but I do know that my experience was that it was not so isolating. It was actually something that drew us closer together.
You, in the drawing closer together, there is a spiritual nature here that you talk about how the disease can awaken so many disciplines like prayer and patience and forgiveness and meditation and silence and ultimately letting go. That, and here again, if you are open to it, that journey, that ride, if you will, can have those consequences.
Yeah, I really learned a lot, even a lot about humor. It's okay to laugh. You know, sometimes what my mother said made no sense, and you just had to laugh at it. And so even humor can be a spiritual discipline. You learn something about prayer because you pray almost the way you breathe. You know, it's help us get through this, or there's not really much I can do here. And you lose control, and I think it ultimately leads to a kind of patience and humor and letting go, and these other spiritual disciplines that you were talking about, I think, can come along with that journey.
You talk in the book about joy and hope, that it doesn't, even though it is ugly and it is horrible, that there can be this font of joy and hope that comes from the experience. And I'm curious as to how you experienced that, and is it, 'cause it's one size doesn't fit all, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, this is really a memoir, and it's not a recipe for how to do it so much as a companion that somebody might want to have as they go through it. It's, I'll tell you about my experience, you tell me about yours, you know, that kind of a book. So I don't mean to be creating a template for everybody. I just think part of the reason that I experienced a little joy while I was doing it was that I knew I was doing the right thing. I mean, you can abandon a parent because it's so awful, or you can come through and sort of allow the role reversal and all that. So part of the joy, I think, was because I experienced the sense that I was doing the right thing. Part of it was because my mother was really filled with this kind of hope about everything, and her spirit rubbed off, you know. She was a national flower show judge, and she loved perennials. She had the sense that things come back. And so that was part of why, I mean, being with her even, I think, towards the end of her life, she kept that spirit, and she tried. You know, she was always trying. And so I think that affects very deeply the way a caretaker feels about, you know, the experience.
You write in the book, in fact, watching her change was agonizing, but it left me different, wiser, better.
I think that's true. I think, you know, the Greeks said suffering brings knowledge. And the book has a quote from Little Gidding, a T.S. Eliot quote. All your exploration, at the end of it all, you arrive where you started and you know the place for the first time. So it's this kind of cyclical journey, I think. You keep going back to your past. And the book is a lot about going back to the past, but you, when you come back again, you know it in a way that you didn't know it as you were living through it.
The name of the book is The Geography of Memory, A Pilgrimage Through Alzheimer's. It is published by Center Street. Jean Murray Walker, I thank you very much for spending time with us this morning, and I wish you all the best in the world with the book.
Thank you. I'm delighted to have been here.
Thank you so much. Again, the title of the book, The Geography of Memory, published by Center Street. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.